This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it's Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. 10 years in now, having so much fun, continuing to allow you to be a fly on the wall of all these great interviews that we do and all the great insight and wisdom that come from our guests. Aim to be educational, informative, illuminating, and instructive. That's our goal, and we work hard at it at Remarkable Results Radio. Thank you so much to our great, great sponsors that continue to support our great podcast. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with NAPA AutoTech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, did you know that NAPA Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, welcome back. I'd like to introduce you to Mike Carrillo. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Carm, how's it going?
Great. Founder at Auto Shop Follow-Up, autoshopfollowup.com. Did I meet you at the Institute Summit?
Yeah, I think that that's where we finally got a chance to connect. I know I've seen you around over the years, but I think that was our first time to really get a chance to sit down and chat a little bit.
Yeah, I find what you do fascinating, and I want to understand some things about calling clients for our shop owners. Here's my curiosity is, Mike. Calls versus text and the truly importance of follow-up as far as retention matters, maybe catching problems early. I was just chatting with some people a couple of days ago, telling them I'm going to do this interview with you and what it is that you do. And I started to think about the number of times I've been upset at a transaction at a business. And I've just vowed that I wasn't going back. I wasn't going to do a negative review. It was just me. I'm so busy, I didn't have time. I didn't want to pontificate all the quality reasons that I had a bad experience. So I said I was never going again. So I was thinking if that business called me up a few days later and said, hey, you were here. How was your food? How was your experience? How was this? How was that? And I'd say, you know, I really didn't have a good time or something didn't happen. Oh, tell me about it. Then the next stumbling block that people said, yeah, but I don't answer the phone of a phone number I don't see, right? And so there's all these interesting things that are going on in our time and in our life that challenges that phone when it rings for me to want to pick it up in this digital age of waiting for a text. So I love what you do. Again, I'm the boomer where the phone was always the most critical, important thing to us. I remember pay phones.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw one in a movie the other day, and I said to my daughter, there, see, look, it's a real payphone.
I like to watch Bill and Ted's just to remember that time, you know?
So look it, you say a phone call is worth 1,000 emails. So tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, really, I think, Carm, what it comes down to is everybody does business with people they know, like, and trust, right? And especially when you're working with vehicles and things that for our average customer, they have no idea what's going on. And it completely hinges on whether or not you're telling me the truth, right? Like, I work in this industry, but I am not a car guy. I'm not able to diagnose my own vehicle. I am good at taking it into my shop. But that really requires a certain level of trust that comes from our customers. And so I think what we've seen happen in the industry is while automation is a great thing, automated emails have made our lives a lot easier for doing follow-up. Text messages have made it a lot easier for doing follow-up. What we've done is we've really kind of removed relationship from our interactions with our customer, right? Where most of us started our businesses on handshakes and relationships with individuals. But as we scale and as we grow, which we all want to do, we start to lose that handshake relationship that we really launched things off with. And so the question is how do we continue to maintain that level of quality and that service while not sacrificing the fact that we need to automate, we need to be able to grow and keep growing our businesses. But how do we do that while still maintaining that level of expertise and connection?
You said a mouthful there, Mike. And then I think about today's digital age, I could book an appointment without talking to an individual,
mm-hmm.
drop off my vehicle without seeing anyone, pick it up, pay for it through pay to text, text to pay. and never, ever looking anyone in the eye, looking to see how clean the place is. I mean, COVID taught us how to do all that stuff.
Right. And in some ways, it's been helpful.
It was hands-free, but now we've ultimately ended up becoming people-free.
Right. And then in the absence of relationship and in the absence of that expertise and being able to model what you guys do, the customer is really left to make the decision based on price, which is the primary thing we don't want them evaluating us based on, right? Is it should be a lot more than just who's the cheapest to go to. But outside of relationship, convenience and price becomes the two most important things.
In the know, like, and trust theme that happens from everyone that I know who's into helping the service professional grow and become successful and profitable, the know part is where that digital age makes it cruel, if you will. I go there, but I really don't know them.
Right. And that's how it is with a lot of our businesses. And what we don't want to do is commoditize our industry to the point where, yeah, all the customers are looking for is who's the cheapest price and who can get me in the quickest to make it the most convenient, right? We do want our customers evaluating us on more than that. And I think too, also just to touch real quick, I think you had mentioned the answering the phone thing. And I think this is a question that comes up a lot. I think you guys will be surprised about if you actually pick up the phone and you start calling your customers, how many of them answer, because the majority of our customers aren't business owners. I'm the same way. I tend to not pick up unknown numbers, but also my phone's probably rang 3 times since we've been on this call. So that's something I think as business owners, we end up looking at our customers as being the same as us. I mean, it really isn't the case. I mean, on average, for us calling, we're able to maintain over a 40% answer rate. I mean, during COVID, that was nearing 70 because everybody was at home and just wanted to talk. That's gone back down to our more normal rates now, but people really do answer the phone. People do want to chat and have a connection with the person on the other line. It really does happen still.
Well, I don't answer phone calls. Those robocalls, those spam type calls, even if it's got my area code in it, because everyone has learned how to somehow mask the area code. And you were telling me in our discovery call, Mike, that you use the local area code of the business, right? You use it. So the individual will look at that phone and say, should I or shouldn't I? And you say 40% of the time they'll answer.
Yeah. And so we actually do. And there's a number of reasons for that. There's things that we do on our end. For one, we don't use, and this would be key too, if you're dialing out of your shop or if you're having one of your team members do this. If you're not dialing from a robo phone, that makes a huge difference because that means there's no pause when they answer the phone, right? Everybody hates that when you pick up, you say hello, and there's like a moment of silence. And I'm like, you called me, you're not even here waiting for me, right? So that's a big thing. That turns a lot of people off and gets a lot of hangups. And then also just your dialing reputation, because we're not a telemarketing company, because your shops aren't and you have a healthy calling reputation, you're more likely to get presented and not have the incoming potential spam, even that some phones will mark. So keeping a really good calling reputation is a big difference there too.
Okay. I got a million questions. I can't wait to get to them. But my question now to you is this. If I'm a shop owner and I know that follow up through a phone call is critical for my customer to discover anything that could have gone wrong, we want to have a quality transference. Car's done, been through quality control. We have processes that get paid, discuss with the customer, maybe look for follow-up, follow-through opportunities. But then I still want to make sure that everything is good. And my greatest intentions in the world is to sit down and do this. Now, is it me? Is it my service advisor? Is it a customer service rep? Who does it? Buried, busy, 2 weeks solid. I got customers that we waited on 21 days. I want to sit and phone call and I sit down. I get my cup of coffee. The phone rings. I never get to it. I think everyone has great intentions for follow-up and follow-through because I think that's a key retention piece. I'm sure you believe that, right? That's why I was fascinated about your company. I don't mean to pontificate here, but there's a point where we all say, who's your recruiter? Who's your marketing person? Who's your DVI company? Who's your coach? And there's one more thing that we almost have to ask in this realm of business services is, who's your callback person or company?
Right. Yeah. It's one of those things that it, you know, my co-founder, Aaron, you know, his dad owns a couple shops here in Arizona. And he started doing these calls when he was 16 for his dad, because it was important then and it's important now. And I think where shops end up kind of missing the boat is that consistency, right? That's the hardest part is as soon as some other fire starts burning brighter in the shop, it's going to be the first thing to get pushed off. Right. So, and that makes sense. There's other more critical things that are happening on a day-to-day basis in your shop. What my suggestion would be is in in attempting to do this in-house, having somebody that the customer didn't individually work with directly is one of my biggest recommendations. If you have an office person, because a lot of times our customers, we know how passive aggressive kind of everybody is in society these days, that most people aren't going to tell the person that they worked with that they didn't do a good job, right? That's one of the downsides of having a service advisor call and follow up is that person going to really tell that person that they didn't have a good experience with them? Is the service advisor going to pass that on to the owner and say, hey, that this guy didn't do it, or I didn't do a very good job here, right? Because we all have that. We all have customers who leave and they aren't the happiest. It's not a dig on any individual team member. But making sure that you have someone who's able to get that information, get that really engage in conversation with the customer and pull that out is critical, and someone that they feel safe sharing with.
Yeah. Okay, Mike. I just don't think you can represent me well. I mean, come on, man. If it's not me or somebody from my people inside of our business, somebody that they may have seen or touched, I don't think it works, Mike. I'm challenging your think here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it is one of those things where it's tricky because especially smaller shops, you have a tendency to think that all my customers know me, all my customers want to work with me. But the reality is your customers want to connect with somebody that they like and that's personable. And if you engage them with conversation on the phone and you're not trying to check a box, I think follow-up phone calls have gotten a little bit of a bad rap because people have tried them in-house or tried to force a team member to do it in-house. And what ends up happening is you kind of end up just trying to check a box versus trying to make a difference, right? Getting on the phone, taking the time to engage with that customer, to ask the right questions and not just trying to get through, hey, I called and followed up and he said everything was fine. It's, hey, how do we really get into the nitty gritty? But that means you have to have somebody calling who wants to be calling, who has interest in that customer, right? And that's what we've done is we've created a system where, you know, our people are customer service based. That's all we're worried about is just loving on our customer. We're not trying to sell them something. We're not trying to push them to do, although there are asks right along the way. But our main focus is how do we make a connection with that customer? Then you'll find that if you do that, the data, the information, the actionable feedback just starts to flow.
Are you a Napa Auto Care Center who is ready to take your shop to the next level? Then the premier tier Napa Auto Care Gold Certified program is exactly what you need. Gold Certified Auto Care Centers provide customers with a consistent experience no matter where they are in the U.S. Now, this means they are more likely to return and support your shop or find your Gold Certified Auto Care Center while on the road. Gold Certified members can maximize technology, increase their local marketing opportunities, and have a fully trained team that keeps up with the latest trends. Simply put, the Gold Certified Napa Auto Care program powered by your local brand will set you apart. A true partnership is a two-way street. Shops must meet specific criteria to be eligible for the many benefits of Gold. Now, Napa Auto Care rewards its most committed partners, their Gold certified members, with free premium shop referrals on the Napa Online Locator, annual marketing dollars, an enhanced warranty, training opportunities, program rebates, and so much more. Are you ready to get started? Contact your local Napa sales representative to discuss your eligibility and apply today. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with Napa Autotech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level, with the Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your Napa sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTracks, that's NapaTracks.com. Okay, I know recruitment companies, and when they recruit for positions in the company, they want to know everything about you. They want to know about your town. They want to know about your company. They want to know about your culture. They want to know everything about you. Do you build a dossier on your clients so that when I'm picking up the phone and calling, I feel like I'm you or your business?
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of the main things is in our onboarding, we want to collect and know as much about your shop as we possibly can, right? We want to know your folks' names. We want to know the people that they're working with. We want to know how you describe where you're located, but not like, hey, the northeast corner of this. We want to know your catty corner from McDonald's, right? Because that's how we would talk if we were down the street from the folks that we're talking with. So yeah, knowing and being integrated and understanding the shop and the shop's culture, all of that is absolutely paramount to making a good call and really building a relationship between the customer and the shop, because we don't want to feel like a third party. I think that's important from our side. And obviously, if you're doing it in-house, it'll feel that way already. But we really want to feel as integrated and a part of your team member as possible, not like a third party that's calling to follow up after the fact.
Mike, what are you learning from these calls?
It's so much all the time. Actually, we're starting to really put together some higher level data of taking a look at, hey, what are we learning in general about the industry and where things are going? I think one of the most surprising things I think I've seen after doing this a long time is how many customers shops lose because of simple misunderstandings. I think that's one of the bigger pieces where we talk to folks who, you know, they didn't leave a review, they didn't go up and complain, but once they got home and they looked at their little DVI printout, they're like, hey, these guys charged me twice what I could get this part for on Amazon. This doesn't make sense. These guys are overcharging me. When we end up talking to them on the phone and they're able to say, hey, I looked at this, like, this is weird. Here's the deal, right? We provide X warranty for this. These are what our technicians are capable of. Like, these are all the things that we bring to the table when we're doing this. There's a reason for that. Well, that's something that somebody would just not come back, right? They're not going to call you. If they're like me, they're not going to leave a review. Like you mentioned, Carm, they're just going to be unhappy and never show up again, right? But those are the types of things where I think we take for granted because we've been in the industry so long, we know how it works, but that's taking a little bit of time to educate the customers along the way with the things that they're struggling with makes a huge difference on people coming back. Because like, well, now they get it, right? They don't feel taken advantage of. They understand the situation and how it works. So that's I think, a major piece.
Well, I'm the shop owner and I'm entrusting you to explain to my customer why they can buy the part cheaper on Amazon. Interesting.
That's where we really get to focus because we get to speak to that. And then when we have technical issues that come up, or, hey, there's a sound about this, that's where we're able to pass it back to your team. We're never speaking to that end of things, right? If that makes sense.
Okay. You said the big words there. Pass it back to your team. So how does that, the resources back to the shop that you're discovering, is there a dashboard? Can I look at it online? Do we have a weekly call? How do I learn about what you're learning?
Yeah, absolutely. So when our team is calling, making dials, right, following up with your customers, at the end of the call, our owners, GMs, or whoever you want to see it gets a report that gets sent to them in their email. We are in the middle of doing our beta testing in our dashboard, so that is coming here shortly. But currently, we send out an email report with a breakdown of all the call results. Now, that said, while we're calling, your team is being notified in real time of anything. So if, say, we talk to somebody who's unhappy and they're expecting a call back, that gets sent to the team immediately, right? If we end up scheduling an appointment online, that gets sent to the team immediately. So there's no delay between when we're interacting and when you guys find out about the information. But at the same time, we send a roll-up report with all kind of the key call-outs to your management team. That way, you get to review and get real actionable feedback sent to your inbox.
Wow. When the customer picks up the call, Mike, and they say, oh, it's you guys, and will they save that number? I mean, is it the same number that they would call from so that they could expect that call down the road? How do I prevent this from not being a robocall in the future as a consumer?
For sure. So part of the way we do it is we go ahead and we assign that to that shop. So the number, any number that we're dialing for is only for that shop. So those customers, if they do call back, it goes to a custom voicemail for them, or our team will pick up if they're available and not on a separate call. That said, I would tell you 99% of the time, if customers want to call, call back for whatever reason, they end up calling the main shop's line because that's what they're used to communicating through. versus the number. A lot of businesses have back office numbers and things like that where they get phone calls from. Typically the customer, like I said, 99% of the time, if they do want to call back, they end up calling the main shop's number. And if we leave a voicemail, that's the number we leave as well.
Retention. Does the shop owner appreciate that this is a service for retention and knowledge and follow up and follow through? Are they checking the box that says I'm staying in touch with my customer? Because in my mind, follow-up calls are really, really, really important. What percent that you know are really doing them?
Actually doing follow-up calls in-house themselves? Well, I usually say that most shops' follow-up routines are a little bit like my gym routine. Like I did it once 6 months ago, but I still take credit for it. But it's not happening on any consistent basis, right? So it's...
But because you're a member, I am, yeah.
Right. And that's the thing is it doesn't end up actually happening consistently. We do it for a little bit. Or what I hear oftentimes is, hey, we like to do it. I have my team do it when things are slow. But all of us in business, right? We're all trying to level out the roller coaster of revenue, right? We all wanted to try to level that out as much as we can so it's not sink or swim. But that requires that consistency, right? And making sure that we're following up with every customer every time. I know a few shops that really run a good program in-house. But I think where that typically falls apart is there's not much of a so what, right? We're saying, hey, we want to call, but we're not giving our team, well, what's the goal of this call, right? What's the actual output? Is the goal just to get them to say that we're okay so we can say we did it, right? Or are we trying to collect data? How are we reviewing that data as a team afterwards, right? How do we apply any new learnings that we get? I think that's where it really starts to fall apart. Is there's not enough of a so what. And for us, I think what we see is when shops start a follow-up program, they start because they know it's something they should be doing. It's something that maybe they used to do. It's gotten too busy and it's fallen off. And what they're hoping to see is some appointments scheduled, right? They want to see some immediate revenue return. And you will see that by doing it. But I think our shops stay because of the data that they're able to get. Because you can get data from being on the phone with folks that there truly is just no other way to get, right? My background is in digital marketing and everything is based on predictive analytics. We're all trying to predict what the customer is going to do based on previous behavior. But this is actually getting on the phone and talking and finding out what their actual experience was. So there's really no way to get this level of data outside of that.
Wow, Mike, you're on the phone with a client of mine and she says to you, hey, you guys mentioned that I needed to have a break job. When can I come in for that? What happens then?
Well, then, so we just go straight to their website and say, absolutely. And we go book through whatever current online booking tool you're using right now, right? So if you're using Chop Genie or AutoOps or one of those, we're just going to hop on there and we're going to schedule straight through that. We notify your team directly, but we like to book through the normal process. That way, you know, service advisors aren't having to look at another spot for an appointment or add it to the calendar. We want it to be as seamless as we can.
The customer picks up the phone and says to you, hey, I'll talk to you this time, but just text me the next time. How often does that happen?
Very, very rarely does that come up. And if it does, we actually do maintain a do not call list. And I think it's important to call out too. Even if you're doing this in-house, this is good to know. Not everybody gets warm fuzzies from a phone call, and that's okay, right? So if we call and say we talk to Carm and Carm's a little grumpy today and he's not into this and he's like, yep, what is it? What do you need? We're not going to start drawing this out, right? We're going to say, hey, we just want to let you know that we appreciate you choosing us. We're here if you need any help. And we're going to let him get off the phone because that's how he's going to be best served. You know, at the same time, though, if we talk to somebody and they want to tell us about their grandkids for 10 minutes, we're going to do that, too. Because remember, the ultimate goal is that know, like, and trust. And that's how you establish that. So we can't treat every single customer the same. And yeah, they're going to be those customers. If they do say they don't want to call, that's great. Well, we respect that. And they won't receive any follow-up calls after that.
Grumpy.
Grumpy happens.
I know.
I can't imagine you being grumpy, Carm, but I know it does happen.
I'm not grumpy, but I can get grumpy. I can play grumpy, I guess.
Yeah.
It's amazing how, you know, as life goes on and the phone rings and we're in really some bad situations that we really don't want to, but it looks like it's something I needed to get and it wasn't. And you're in a crisis or in a terrible mode. Everyone can get grumpy at that moment in time, especially if it's just a follow-up phone call. Okay. The digital natives, have you found that the really young people just don't want the phone call?
No, not at all, which is really wild. Actually, I was reading something the other day where it was talking about how the younger generations actually have a stronger drive for actual relationship than almost anybody because they've been so pacified by social media and the ability to have existence with other people without having to connect. We actually have not seen that at all. And in fact, the younger generation has a higher sense almost of loyalty for those people who do make it bother to make a connection and relationship because they crave it more than anyone else does. typically they're not as much nickel and dimer shoppers. If they find that place that they know, like, and trust, that's going to be their place until there's a reason to do otherwise.
I read that article, I believe, or I had seen something come by, you know, all the different emails that I get that says people are craving, some of the younger people are craving relationships that they can't get.
And I think that most, I don't want to come across as say a text message follow-up is a good thing. Like you, I would say 96% of our customers are running some sort of text message follow-up alongside us. They're fantastic for review generation and things of that nature. I think where we end up seeing kind of the wheels fall off the bus with that is you're only going to hear really from two groups of people, the people who really loved you and the people who really hated you. But our future money is in the middle, right? Those people who are a bit neutral with us still, that's really where we want to make the difference in terms of retention.
So what I'm hearing from you is a little bit about the consistency of the engagement with the client so that the relationship can be strong, build strong, stay strong. I also believe I heard that we can stop negative reviews if they're about ready to happen. I mean, do people, again, I don't know the answer to this. I should find out. I need to ask somebody. Maybe you know. I had a bad experience. Do I sit on it or wait, or do I immediately run in to Google and I give you a bad experience? Is there a timeline in there?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. I know that we've seen, as a result of following up, I know that we've seen the number of negative reviews drop. Now, you know, you could argue that that's because you're heading it off of the pass, or maybe they're applying some of the feedback that we're getting, right? There's a lot of reasons that reviews can happen. You really can, right, by heading that off at the pass and touching base, that customer who's been sitting and they've been irritated about whatever, maybe that part costs, right? And they've been sitting around fuming about it. They go to another shop. That's typically when the customer leaves the review, when they say, well, I took it to this other guy and he said this, right? That's why most of our reviews start that way. So making sure that we're following up in that in-between time, I think, is really essential.
I love the idea. I just see some tons of value in it. And I don't know, Callback Pro, maybe that's the, again, I don't know if you call it that or I called it that, or because just like I've got my recruiter and my coach, who's your Callback Pro?
Our team members who actually are calling and dialing, we call them our ambassadors, because really we feel like that's their primary role. They're an ambassador between your shop and that customer. And to drive relationship, that's our, you know, terminology is important, and that's how we refer to them.
I think it's a strong job description if I was sitting down working for you and calling, to knowing that I'm the ambassador for this particular company. Do you encourage the individual who is going to make calls for a shop to actually speak to some of the leadership there?
We always try to have the same person calling as much as we can. So that way that relationship begins to develop between them and the shop. Obviously, there's vacations and things of that nature that come up, and we're providing that consistency and making sure people are there to do that. We really try to keep that the same person calling, because they're going to see trends. They're going to be able to provide deeper insights into that for that shop just based on that long-term relationship. So we try to keep them paired as much as we possibly can.
Bilingual if necessary?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's definitely important. We have some Spanish-speaking ambassadors as well.
Mike Carrillo, founder Auto Shop Follow-Up. What have I failed to ask you that you'd like to tell me?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you asked the pertinent things. I mean, it's one of those things that is really simple. It's almost, I think sometimes we discount it a little bit because it just seems like, man, we should do this. It's not complicated, right? But it's consistency, right? And if you apply that consistency, the results really do work. What we've seen, and this is just a little, you know, pat on the back for myself, our team, we don't have long-term contracts, and we retained over 98% of our customer base last year. The system really, really does work. That's our main call. We would love shops to see more, do more follow-up in-house, even if you're doing it on your own. It really, really, really can move the needle for you in a way you can't expect.
I see a lot of value in it, because we're in the people business. We fix cars, but we help people have a great life, give them their freedom to get anywhere they want to get with the safe and reliable vehicles. I don't think our business should be cold. It should be warm and friendly.
It should be. And we, you know, people, whether it's employment, people don't quit businesses, right? And or if you're a customer, you don't leave a business, you leave the people who are working there. And so if we lose sight of that piece, right, whether you're in your best customers too, right, your people who have been coming there for 10 years, it's so easy for us to say, oh, we don't want to call them or follow up. They're our customer. They've been coming to us forever. Yet the main reason people don't come back is because they said they feel forgotten about. I think we start to take for granted the people that we have and forget that our customer was only our customer the last time they were in our shop. Now they're up for grabs, right? And we have to keep working for that.
You earn them each transaction. I really enjoyed this, Mike. Thank you so much. Mike Carrillo, founder Auto Shop Follow-Up at autoshopfollowup.com. you taught me an awful lot, and you broke down some barriers in my mind. Appreciate you being here, man.
Thank you, Carm. Appreciate it. Pleasure as always.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.